Hey everyone, this is Chris.
And Lorenzo.
And welcome to our Best of Saturday series. Now that we have hundreds of episodes, we get a lot of listeners asking us where to start.
So we'll be selecting some of our most popular episodes to share each Saturday from our years of podcasting. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about leading in a time of crisis. We're clearly at a crisis right now. We'll get through it as a species, as humanity as a whole, but each individual person is going to have a different answer to that question of whether or not they are getting through it. Some people that I've spoken to seem to be, this seems to be a godsend for them. Like they're getting healthier, they're not seeing a paycheck deduction, they are working from home, they don't have kids that have to worry about learning how to homeschool. Like it's almost like a good thing for them, and they almost feel bad saying it. And I know other people who this is a total upheaval. They are really hurting financially. It just kind of runs the gamut, and it really depends on what your situation was prior to it for how it will impact you. From a leadership standpoint, when it comes to companies, I think there has been almost like a divergence between the different things that companies and people at companies decide to do when it comes to leading their people in this crisis. And I feel like the right move for short-term success, the right move for long-term success, an overall moral code as human beings, and the court of public opinion sometimes can lead people to different outcomes. So have you seen this divergence too? And how do you think leaders should get through this if they want to make the right decision, but they can't necessarily feel like they are satisfying all four of those?
Well, I think it's absolutely, like, you can read any paper, any article, anything that you see online right now and see massive differences in the reaction of leaders of different organizations. And I think for different reasons. And I think what you called out is you've got some leaders that are making decisions based upon, you know, the court of public approval. You've got some leaders that are making decisions based on simply saving the organization or the company, where there's, you know, either, or, you know, companies that are that run on a profit margin that requires, you know, very clear, you know, very consistent levels of income on a weekly or monthly basis. And then you've got kind of companies that are in the middle of that, where maybe they have enough cash and capability where they can, you know, redirect workflow or move people to work from home. And while it doesn't, you know, it may be a little bit more difficult to kind of lead them virtually or you know, run meetings through different softwares, they can still run their business pretty effectively. So I think that there's a lot of factors in what is driving the decisions of many of these leaders. I think, though, what you hit on and what I was thinking about while you were talking is those leaders maybe that are struggling to, like, put their head on the pillow at night wondering, you know, did I make the right decision here? Am I doing what's best, you know, quote unquote, for my people? Am I making decisions based upon emotions or what I think, you know, feels good today? Or am I doing things and making decisions that are, you know, saving the company from going under, so therefore we have a company when eventually this thing comes out on the other side? So yeah, I just think that there's a lot of layers and context and nuance to what's going on. And so I think that's why we're seeing such a vast amount of different differing opinions and decisions from leaders across the board.
Yeah, I heard a long time ago that you manage with your head and you lead with your heart. And it sounds good when I say it. And in general, I like it. I think it divides things up too much. And I kind of like it better in a situation like this where you have to manage with both your head and your heart, and you have to lead with both your head and your heart. You have to have both elements in both things. And I think that there, in this situation, leaders who are making their decisions solely with their heart or solely with their head seem to be making the wrong decisions. And there are some that seem to kind of hit the nail on the head as far as what they're doing. And it seems to be accepted by the media reporting on it. It seems to be accepted by their people. It seems to be accepted by kind of all these different things. But I have a hard time believing that it was 100% planned that way. That I think some of this stuff, they're almost, I don't want to say shot in the dark, but they are kind of making what they think is the best decision, then crossing their fingers and hoping they don't piss anybody off. You know, I mean, did you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think honestly, even so recently as the idea of reopening the country from a political standpoint, I think that you see leadership from a politics standpoint as well, where you've got leaders that are making decisions to do things that, you know, may sound good on a news bite, but the reality is it may cause more damage in the long run. And I think that
sure.
completely applies to business. And like, let's take a leader of maybe a company that they have to decide, is it better for me as a leader to reduce, you know, the pay of everybody, or greatly reduce the pay or compensation of executives, C-suite, that type of thing, to hold on to all employees for as long as possible at the risk of potentially bankrupting the company if this goes on for longer than I think it would. So basically, I'm a leader. I got to make a decision. If we can reduce all these kind of salaries and this type of thing, that can have us survive for the next 3 months. So I'm banking on back to business as usual in 3 months. Well, then what happens if this becomes a 4 or 5 month thing? Maybe the company goes under. Or I say as a leader, well, if I let go or furlough or lay off 30% of my staff or 40% of my staff, then I can actually extend the length of the life of the company for 9 months. And if this now ends in 6 or 7, we now have the capability to bring back those people that were either furloughed or laid off over the course of the next 6 to 9 months because our company is still here. So I think that like that's the real life things that are playing out right now with organizations big and small. And I think that's the thing that is, you know, to your point, if it's all head and it's like, you know, here's the profits and we must maintain the profits, then that could be the wrong call because you can lose a lot of loyalty and emotional equity with your people. If it's all heart and you're making a decision to keep everybody, even if the company goes under, well, over the long run, if the company goes under, now you have no jobs for anybody. And so the short-term thought of following just your heart could cause it to be a longer, failure in the long term because now you don't have anything for anybody to come back to.
I like what you said there because I think where a lot of leaders go wrong is in these lines in the sand. And so, you know, the decisions that are being made, technically, none of them can be made until we know how long this is going to last and what the long-term implications are. But yet we have to make the decisions anyway. So do we lay off people? Do we take salary cuts for executives? Do we do this? Do we, there's so many different options. And under any other circumstance, it would be a terrible business decision to even make any decision not knowing how long this is going to last. But because of the nature of how this works, we have to make these decisions before we know how long it's going to last. And so I think where I've seen companies go wrong is when they make these broad declarations and what they're doing is they're trying to win over the court of public opinion. They're trying to say, look how moral and righteous I am, and I'm doing this, and this is never going to change. And then in their mind, they're thinking, of course it's not going to change. This is only going to last a month, right? Oh, wait. It's more than a month? Oh, it's two. Oh, uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't have said what I said a month ago about what our line in the sand is, or what we will never do, or what we will always do. And that's when I think where you see backpedaling and companies trying to really, try to dial back what they said, or they get caught with their foot in their mouth. The companies that have been doing this right are ones that kind of assume the worst and have a contingency for it, but then they act with this transparency of, hey, you know what? We don't know the answer. So this is what we think is right now. We can't promise you this is the way it's going to stay, but we think this is the right move for right now, and we will keep you informed. I think sometimes that transparency and that vulnerability can score you a lot of points when it comes to your own people. Forget the court of public opinion. Just how your own people think, the emotional equity that you mentioned earlier, that I think is what keeps people in, because it says, you know what, there's no way anybody can assume you should know the answers to this here. There's no one can know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the, you know, the idea in this space, and I know we've spoken about it a few times on the podcast, is like everybody is kind of, you know, making this up and trying to figure this out. Everybody is doing, you know, all of us as leaders are doing things maybe for the first time in our careers in this way. So like there's so many things and there's so many layers to this. And I like what you said where, you know, as long as you're as a leader, and again, like the leaders of companies, right? Companies aren't doing this, right? It's not
companies don't do anything. It's people.
Exactly. It's the leaders of the companies. So as leaders, as you're making decisions and as you're talking to your people and as you're working through this situation, letting them know and saying like, this is the decision that's being made right now based on all the information that we have that best aligns with our values and what we believe is the right thing to do for both all of our people and for the health and longevity of the organization, right? This could change, and this probably will change, and we don't know if it's going to be changing in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. All of that is going to depend upon how long this lasts and, you know, what things happen. But again, like keeping that flow of dialogue and conversation and explanation, I think for people is the thing that matters most to people. Because again, like as I've read through and seen the articles and seen the blogs and seen, you know, threads on Reddit and people talking about the uncertainty and like not knowing what's going to happen and not having the information, it causes more worry. It causes more stress, you know, and I see a lot of people saying things like, I'd rather just know. I'd rather know that something's going to happen one way or another with my job.
Wouldn't we all?
Then kind of be led down this path over time where I can appreciate maybe what's happening, but would also like to know. And again, that's a tough call for leaders to make because sometimes, and many times the leaders don't know. The leaders are saying, we're doing our best to take as long as we can to make these decisions because we're trying to get as much information as possible to try to make the best decision. But to your point, sometimes the decision just has to be made regardless of how much information we do or don't have. But again, staying the course and really over communicating as much as you can with the intent of the decisions that you want to make, not the decision itself, but here's the factors and the values that we're thinking about when we make these decisions. That alone for a lot of people can be very helpful.
I totally agree. And I think one of the values that I see out of leaders who have done this right, and this looks different in every organization. So this isn't a prescription for how to do things, but what you mentioned was acting in spirit of values. I think what employees want to see when they're at an organization, if you want people's emotional equity, if you want their loyalty, you want to know that they're going to perform for you well, regardless of how long this lasts or how long it goes, individual employees want to feel like everybody's in this together. Meaning they don't want it to appear as if the decisions that are being made are in the efforts to insulate some people in the organization at the greater expense of somebody else. Meaning what on a very 1 + 1 = 2, what's better if each of us pay a dollar or if I pay $2 and you pay nothing? You know, that's what it is. And that's a very simplistic way of putting it. And again, this works differently for every organization, but the organizations that I've seen that are doing this well are ones where what is shared is whatever the hardship is. Now, I will caveat that with there is no righteousness in everybody going down with the ship. There's nothing. When the Titanic's sinking, no one said, yeah, I know we have lifeboats for 30% of the people, but you know what? In solidarity, no one's going to go on a lifeboat. We're all going to go down with the ship. No, that you fill as many lifeboats as you can. And so there's this idea that you want to share in the burden of the hardship of whatever it is, which is a strong value to have, and it's a good value to have. On the flip side, you want to make sure that you have as few casualties as possible. And sometimes, in order to have as few casualties as possible, some people end up being a casualty. And by definition, that isn't sharing equally in the burden. So I think a lot of leaders really struggle with that. How to make it so the general sense is that we understand it's important that we all share in this burden. On the flip side, if sharing in the burden means there's no company left, that's also wrong too.
Yeah, no, I think I was reading an article the other day about like a medium-sized company. I think they had like, I don't know, like maybe 50 to 75 employees. Not a huge executive team, that type of thing. But, you know, what I appreciated about their leadership was, you know, what we've been talking about is they brought the whole company together and had a, kind of an all-hands meeting and said, like, here's the situation. Here's what this looks like. Here's what our books say. Here's what we see. Here's a couple of different options that we have here. We can keep everybody on, and we can guarantee for the next amount of months here that we shouldn't see any type of an issue where we're going to have to do anything drastic as an organization. Or we can do this together, where if everybody is willing to utilize their vacation time, benefit time, if those would like to take, you know, additional time, like whatever we want to do, if we get about, you know, X amount of percentage of the company to do that, then that would allow us to do this. Or if everybody here in the entire company says we're willing to take a 20% increase or decrease to our pay, and we're willing to forego our bonuses for the next two quarters, then that would allow us to keep everybody for at least the next 12 months. And it was kind of like this. And again, it's tough because it only works with certain size companies, with so many team members, with the certain industries. You know, like all these things have to matter there. But what I liked about reading this was how clear they were, how very much they were aligned with their values, how they were empowering everybody to say, these are the options that we have. We'd like for you to take a couple of hours. We're going to pass out these tally sheets. We'd like for you to vote on this, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll make a decision. And what came out of that was the everybody in the company saying, we're all willing to take a 20% decrease. We're all willing to push our bonuses for two quarters. And some of us would also like to use some benefit time. And they were able to make that decision collectively as an organization. And I thought, like, kudos to them. I thought that was the right approach. And I know that doesn't apply to everybody, but I just liked that style of leadership, transparency, collaboration, and explanation as to why they have to make this decision and how can we work together to make it happen.
Right. And it was a piecemeal decision. It wasn't a blanket solution for the entire organization. It involved different people doing different things so that collectively they win. I remember a story very similar to that right after the recession in 2008, where there was a CNC company. They do like machine work. And this the owner of the company talked about having to lay off 20% of the workforce in order to keep going. And the rest of the team got together and said, we don't want you to let go of anybody. We all agree to take a 20% pay decrease. So from a labor standpoint, you're still saving 20%, and that allows everybody to stay on board. And that was an incredibly moving story when I read it. And the first thing I thought was, how many organizations exist out there where the people who you work alongside would take would volunteer to say, I will make 20% less so that my coworker doesn't have to lose their job? If you work for an organization like that right now, you are in the absolute minority, because this idea that you would do that for a person who is just a coworker, you're talking about really strong interpersonal relationships here. That doesn't exist unless you have strong leadership and a strong culture of leadership and a strong culture of teamwork working together. And that can exist in large companies, medium companies, and small companies too. But it is very, very rare.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic leadership. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 Minute Hack.
The 1 Minute Hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 Minute Hack, we're going to talk about leading in a crisis. And you want to lead with humanity. How do you lead with humanity? With empathy and transparency. So what's right for your organization might not be right for another organization, or vice versa. You as the leader have to weigh the short-term success, the long-term success, the success of yourself, the success of each individual in your organization, and there isn't necessarily going to be a clear-cut right way forward, especially in the face of not knowing how long this is going to last. But no matter what decision you make, if you start by making sure that it is full of empathy, and that you are transparent about what you do know and what you don't know, as transparent as possible. Talk about your own vulnerabilities and your own struggles as a leader as you come to these decisions. Ask for input. Find out what the culture temperature check of your organization is when it comes to these things, because if your people are involved in the decision-making process and they understand that you have their back and that the decisions you're making are done with their long-term success in mind, you are more likely to make the correct decision.
Yeah, I think it's a great 1 minute hack. And just a reminder that regardless of, you know, crisis, no crisis, pandemic, no pandemic, good leadership and great leadership is good leadership and great leadership. And these same things that we would talk about in engaging your team in the day-to-day basis are even more important now when things kind of get stripped down and you really have to be a leader of people and connect with them and allow them some space to work through and deal with this very unique situation.
Yeah, I agree. We talked earlier about values. This is the time when you can find out whether your values system is right, because it might have worked fine for you over the last 10 years, but show me a crisis and I'll show you whether or not your value system still holds up. So if you can put it through that lens of your own values and you seem to be coming out right, it's a good gut check on whether or not you were leading with the right values.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.